You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this week, it was announced that the government and Auckland Council are putting funding towards the greater development of the Auckland Film Studios in Henderson, as well as there being a proposed privately funded film studio in Wanaka. I interviewed Stuart Nash to elaborate on this. I also interviewed a couple of local Kiwi filmmakers, as well as Callum McLeod. I asked all about what New Zealand's unique position as a safe and well-resourced place to film means in our post-COVID recovery. So firstly, I spoke with Stuart Nash, the Minister of Economic Development. In this last week, there's been news that the government and the Auckland Council are together funding $35 million towards the Auckland Film Studios out in Henderson. I was wondering if you could just speak a little to that and what that means for the New Zealand film industry.
Sure. We've got a Auckland's Council's putting in $5 million, government's putting in $30 million. This was part of our COVID shovel-ready project. And, you know, we have an amazing film industry in this country. They are, you know, they're world-leading in terms of technology and workforce. And obviously our scenery and our locations mean that we're the sort of the perfect place to make a lot of movies. And this will only increase our attractiveness for both, like you say, overseas filmmakers as well as domestic ones. So it's really just increasing that core infrastructure needed to make world-class films.
There's been news that a film studio is going to be built in Wanaka and it's going to be privately funded. I'm pretty sure that's going to be the first film studio that's been in the South Island. I was a little surprised to think that the government wasn't maybe contributing towards this or hadn't even put something in place overall, considering that most of our location assets are down in the South Island. Have you heard about this at all?
Yeah, no, I've heard about it. It sounds an amazing set, but to be honest, I don't even think we've been approached by the people who are hoping to fund that. But, you know, the heart of our film industry at this point in time is actually in Henderson. And, you know, we need to ensure that the infrastructure there is, sufficient. And, you know, what you find with films and certainly with the TV series Lord of the Rings, is they do a lot of location filming, of that there's no doubt, but then they head back to do also a lot of the filming and post production stuff in Auckland. So, you know, I think the film studio down in Wanaka sounds amazing, and it will be, from what I understand, it'll be world class. But this is about ensuring that we have the core infrastructure in place in Auckland.
Does it serve kind of emerging filmmakers who are maybe more in the directorial or like producer kind of space? Because I know that we have had a lot of international like COVID refugees almost come over here to film things and have been using that studio. And right now we're filming a very expensive TV series. How will that serve local talent?
Well, what we find in the film industry is that the vast majority of people who actually work on international movies are Kiwis. It's about, it varies on the movie or the series. Obviously, we just made Lord of the Rings. I think about 86% of people who worked on that series were Kiwis. And so, you know, the film industry employs about 14,000 people. It's a $2 billion industry. So it's probably larger than a lot of people imagine when they think about, you know, what we do here in this space.
Cool. Thank you. Did you have anything more to add?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of our film industry. I think we have, world-class people who are doing world-class things, and that's both, in front of screen and behind screen and post-production. So, you know, anything we can do that will continue our global competitive advantage, the greater our level of infrastructure, the greater the chance that people will have ongoing careers.
That was Stuart Nash. Next, I interviewed Ashley Williams, an emerging filmmaker from Wellington who has a few short films and documentaries under her name. She spoke about the positives as well as her concerns in regard to the funding for the Auckland Film Studios.
So, my name's Ashley Williams and I'm a filmmaker based in Wellington. I have probably been in film for about maybe 5 years or so.
I just wanted to ask about your thoughts on the government and Auckland Council's announcement this week that they are investing $35 million into the Auckland Film Studios. Do you have any qualms, or does this even apply to you in Wellington?
I'm really for it. I think that it's awesome to be able to have facilities and spaces that create growth on a larger international scale. But one of the things, I guess, with larger scale facilities, which is really, really exciting for us, is just, you know, and it's really the perspective I can talk to, is just the emerging space for, or at least the question that I'd have would be access for emerging filmmakers to spaces like this. So, you know, if we're going to put in a lot of money into something like this, I would hope that we would also be creating a sustainable career path for new filmmakers that come into these spaces.
That's an interesting thing to bring up because obviously this money is being put in into the really high-end part of it, and right now we're having the apparently the most expensive TV show ever produced. And so it's like kind of catering to that end. But my question, would be the same as yours. Like, what's then being put into more of the grassroots end of that and like the path towards it?
Yeah, exactly. It's about access and gatekeeping, right? So making sure that there's always pathways, whether that be via scholarships or residencies or just essentially money that's also being put into the other side, so that then those people can essentially stand up and go through that pathway and then be able to use these facilities.
How do you think the film industry is poised to help accelerate New Zealand's COVID recovery? And do you think this is almost an opportunity with these funding decisions and suddenly New Zealand being quite a relatively safe place to be?
Yes, is the short answer. Look, I think that there's great case studies for this. You know, one would be Shadow in the Cloud, which was made by Roseanne Lang, who's an amazing filmmaker, and she actually created, well, what I know of, I might be wrong, but essentially created her production within the walls of, or a lot of it, was kind of studio-based. So, and that was within the COVID times. This is a feature film in New Zealand, and now she's gone on to, you know, being a real hot, you know, feature filmmaker. So creating spaces that filmmakers can, within the bounds of a facility like this, can really develop talent and also, create world-class cinema. Another one would be like Netflix's Sweet Tooth. You know, that was a co-production. Stan was actually filmed in New Zealand and it's just been tapped for a second series. So, you know, we are making world-class cinema for small screens and large.
That was Ashley Williams. I also interviewed Tim Hamilton, another filmmaker from Wellington who is well known in the 48-hour film competition scene and is also an independent filmmaker. He shared some similar concerns to Ashley and brought up some interesting points.
My name is Tim Hamilton and I do a lot of the independent work. So I'm an independent visual effects artist and director working out of house studios. I'm mostly involved in post-production.
It was announced earlier this week that the government and Auckland Council are investing $35 million into the Auckland Film Studios. I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts on this.
It's actually really quite complex and interesting, and you could go quite deep into this. Film in New Zealand has kind of two core parts. There are those who work on films and those who make films. And people who make films are local talent. A film studio actually only really seems to serve those who work on films. So it's actually completely disassociated, in my view, with local talent and people creating stuff. It's just an industry booster for people who are your builders, your set builders, your electricians, plumbers, people who do the day-to-day on a film set, working for the Americans, bringing American dollars into this economy. You know, it definitely seems to me that a studio is just for Americans trying to avoid pandemic restrictions and some of the union restrictions that they have in the States.
Interesting take. I mean, that's not a negative thing in that it is bringing jobs to like people who are more maybe in the crew and working on films, as you say. But I guess that's only kind of okay as long as there's still infrastructure and support for emerging filmmakers, and whether that be in the form of funding and scholarships and everything. So if this support is being given for people who quote unquote work on films, what support is there available for people who make films?
Yeah, we're actually extremely lucky in this country. We're one of the only countries that actually have a film commission, right? We can get our projects funded. You could put $35 million into a studio, or you could do $35 $1 million films. And if you're really looking at emerging talent, you'd go with the latter. This will probably just have a benefit on those working on those features. Of which, you know, I do get to be one, and I've seen the benefit of it. Earlier in the year, I was working on an Apple TV show, and, you know, that exists because there are subsidies and so on that make it more appealing for Apple to come and work here. So, you know, I've seen those benefits even as a, you know, quote-unquote independent filmmaker.
Cool. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, when it comes to studio building and infrastructure, we often see the argument, I'm pretty sure I've seen actually James Cameron say it on air and recorded, that there isn't enough local talent to fill in the gaps anyway. I really hate that attitude, honestly. There's so many people in this country desperate to, A, just have a job, generally, and also who are dedicated and willing to learn the craft of filmmaking, regardless of how small their role might be. But if we're going to put money into the studio, we actually really also need to be equally supporting training and providing opportunities for people to learn new skills and be of use to the studios.
Lastly, I interviewed Callum McLeod, the Deputy Mayor for the Queenstown Lakes District, about a proposed film studio that will be built in Wanaka. Weta Digital veteran Mike Wallace, double Oscar nominee Ra Vincent, and film accountant Jonathan Harding head the company Silverlight Studios that will privately fund this $280 million venture. The company's plans are published by the Environmental Protection Authority after it determined this week the application was complete, and a consenting panel will now make the decision on whether to approve it. Here's Callum's thoughts.
My name is Callum McLeod. I'm the Deputy Mayor of the Queenstown Lakes District Council.
So in recent days, we've found out that the company Silverlight Studios has been granted permission to apply for fast-track consent to construct a film studio in Wanaka, which you signed a letter of support for development in October. It will be more than just a collection of sound stages. There will be post-production facilities, offices, a film school, screening theatre, cafes, and even a replica of Central Park. It will cost $280 million, the project. How will this environmental and financial commitment be advantageous to and diversify the Wanaka economy, in your opinion?
Going to have a massive impact, obviously. When this first came to my attention, the three guys who are all New Zealand locals, one from Dunedin, one from Oamaru, one from Nelson, have been in the film industry for decades, and they were looking for a location, and Wanaka came out top of their list. When you go through the pros and cons, what ended up putting me in support of it was, I got to Wanaka in 1989, so I've been here for 30 odd years. And the town at that point was 2,500 people. It's now 12,500 people, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in the grand scale of it, it's quite a lot. And there's no doubt it will change the town, but every single child that gets born in Wanaka, the Upper Clutha, and that includes Hawea, Lagut, generally has to leave the area to get ahead, to do what they want to do, need to do. And this proposal would secure every child a future in film, in, you know, as a lawyer, as an accountant, as a technician, as a sparky, as an artist, as an actor, as a director. You take your pick. And if you look at the screen industry plan for the future, and indeed any government literature in terms of diversifying our economy, the film industry or the screen industry, which is more important because it's not just film, it's also the gaming aspect. The screen industry features incredibly highly in terms of the list of the positives. And so when it came to not making a decision, that's obviously up to the EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency. It was a relatively easy proposal to support.
That makes sense. It's interesting what you say about every child then having an opportunity, because you're right, it's not just film, it's everything that industry brings around it. And I guess for Wanaka is like quite, it's generally seen as a winter destination, but filming and production can go around the clock.
The Queenstown Lakes is tourist is it tourism heavy? You know, always has been, and the whole area has been hit incredibly hard with COVID-19, the C-19 impact. And there's always been a reliance on the tourism industry, which is generally light wages. This will break that mold, that reliance on... when I got here, and to this day, probably there'd be three components, which would be farming, tourism, and building. And the building industry's doing well, the farmers are doing okay, despite what they say. And the tourism industry's just been jettied. So this is actually a string to that bow.
So this would be the first film studio overall in the South Island, and this is obviously where a lot of our location assets and appeal for filming in New Zealand is based. Like films, obviously, The Lord of the Rings, and then things like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe are filmed in the scenery there. How do you feel about the fact, maybe I'm wrong, but the fact that the government hasn't really intervened to support the building of a film studio down there, and even now private funding is what's finally driving the construction of this facility?
The film industry is quite a fickle beast. I've got absolutely no qualms about the government investing in the Auckland Film Studio. Obviously, that's the largest TV production that's ever been made, and it's being filmed in little old New Zealand. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that how New Zealand continues to bat above its station. In terms of the South Island and this being private investment, well, that's sort of just the way it is. You know?
And even so far, New Zealand's tracked so well during like post-pandemic and kind of during the pandemic with film. And so do you think like projects like this, they'll really bode well for a post-COVID recovery for New Zealand?
I'd like to think so. I mean, and we've relied on tourism and farming. Tourism, who knows what that'll evolve into. Farming has got some major challenges coming up, specifically New Zealand farming in terms of its production. And aside from the global pandemic, climate change and how we're going to react to that. So the film industry's got an opportunity, screen industry has got, will provide an opportunity. And if we can grasp that, then that's potentially an extremely positive future for New Zealand.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
It's kind of interesting. Wanaka's had a history of having issues that divide the town and people get quite vociferous. There's a lot of strong opinion, a lot of intelligent people, a lot of wealthy people in Wanaka. So when it comes to things like the siting of a rowing club or whether the airport should go ahead or not, There's definitely quite a lot of pros and cons and negatives and positives. In general, most people are quite supportive. It'll be interesting to see how that evolves and how this does evolve, because it will be a major change. This actually is quite a positive, I think, and it'll be not only a positive for... And it's of a scale, it will be a positive for Wanaka, a positive for the South Island, positive for New Zealand.
Finally, I talked to Nikki Boucher of Screen Wellington for some parting thoughts on the whole matter.
My name's Nikki Locke-Boucher, and I'm the manager of the Wellington Regional Screen Office, Screen Wellington, and we facilitate permit filming activity here in the region, and we also work towards growing our and supporting our sector to be sustainable through sector development initiatives, supporting infrastructure projects, private investment, workforce development, and really just growing the sort of the pie.
How is film faring in Wellington right now in general? What infrastructure is there available?
We're doing well here. Since COVID, you know, we've seen a huge uptick in really awesome New Zealand productions. And because we're so easy to, you know, our city and our region is really easy to film in, we're seeing a huge amount of those projects coming back, and obviously commercials and things like that, so stuff that keeps the crew taking over and working. And obviously we've had a couple of international TV series and films come over because of COVID, as COVID refugees. Obviously the borders are really a real issue for every sector at the moment. But yeah, to date it's been really great. We have a studio project that is very near completion in Upper Hutt called Lane Street Studios. And that project is a purpose-built studio precinct, really, and it's been designed by architects and acousticians and contractors whose job it is to work on studio projects. So it's not a retrofit, it's a system for purpose-built.
I hadn't actually heard anything about the studio being built in Upper Hutt, but that's really good to hear. Outreaching more into the Hutt is a good idea, and that sounds as if it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, we have an amazing offering here with Stone Street and MoMA, and those facilities are incredible, and they are, like, literally the best in New Zealand at the moment. And Avalon obviously has always operated out here, and, you know, we had the Mr. Corman TV series, the Apple show, that's actually going on here today. Which was filmed in Lower Hutt and based at Avalon this past year. But look, the offering for all of the studio facilities here, because they are so well built, they are fit for purpose. We now have this amazing suite or complement of facilities that make Wellington a hugely appealing place, and it really was. You know, Upper Hutt to Miramar is not actually that far when you're thinking about Los Angeles or even Auckland in terms of distances.
Yeah, it's funny being a Wellingtonian, always being used to, like, oh, Miramar to Upper Hutt, that's a huge distance. Then you think of, like, actually big cities around the world. I don't know whether you've heard about this new studio that's being built in Wanaka. It's like a $280 million development. It's privately funded as well.
We work closely with our other regional film office colleagues. Our conference is actually next week. I've heard about that project. I don't actually know how far down the track it is, so I couldn't comment on that specifically. But there is also a couple projects that have been presented for Canterbury as well, in Christchurch, and I believe with input from the university, which is always really good as well. So, yeah, it's an exciting time for New Zealand, and it's kind of a maturation point for all of us.
Yeah, I agree. I think New Zealand kind of had its first film wave, what was Peter Jackson and Weta and everything emerging, but I feel like COVID might mark kind of like a second point where we do really become both an international and local destination for film, and it seems like it might be playing quite an important role in post-COVID recovery.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Annabelle, who was the previous CEO of the Film Commission, said that, you know, 95% of the crew on these films coming in are Kiwis, and that's huge. The other opportunity, of course, was that we want to grow our digital exports. We want our independent filmmakers to succeed and to create their own content and IP export. And I think that's the biggest opportunity, actually.
One concern I heard from a Wellington filmmaker that I spoke to earlier was about the gap between, like, government funding, for example, for Auckland film studios and for those just starting out in film and emerging filmmakers. How is the government or things like Screen Wellington supporting emerging filmmakers to even get to that place in the beginning?
Well, firstly, we don't fund. We do not provide funding,
right,
for projects or even infrastructure. It's not something that the Wellington region does.
Sure.
The film office itself is a free service, and we support all the projects to facilitate all of those free service. So that support itself is, you know, I guess an investment in our industry. We do have, as a city of film, UNESCO City of Film, we got that designation in 2019, and there are some programs of work that we do support, particularly in underrepresented groups and young Māori filmmakers and people making content here. So that is something that we do and do support. And we've been involved in helping to get a private screen investment fund set up this year, which is really exciting, and I see that being something, you know, that emerging filmmakers, and particularly in the genre space and the digital space, will make use of.
Was there anything else that you wanted to add, or are you all good?
Oh, no, just that, you know, like, we're really looking forward to the future. We've actually just gone through a process of writing a regional screen strategy for Wellington, so it's an exciting time, and we're really looking forward to Lane Street coming online and, you know, getting out of this COVID situation.
We'll just have to look out for Lane Street in the future. Remember the name.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.